set up? Are you ready to rip?
He's not even going to take five.
Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Adjourn. The Council's Research Steering Committee met on May 19th and 20th to conduct management reviews of 16 final cooperative research reports. The documents are behind tab 8 in your binder. Specifically, there's the meeting summary. There's the policy for incorporation of research results into the management process. And there's a list of the final reports at the meeting, which is on your table, is a set of CDs. Basically, these two little pieces of plastic represent this little pile of paper, which is what we read for the May 19th and 20th meeting. Assuming everybody has read the summary document, I'm going to try to be brief here. Basically, we had an update on funding, available funding for CRP activities. Dr. Meredith briefed the committee on activities, providing an accounting of the various projects funded through the program, including the Council's three research set-aside programs. He reported that the program will not likely issue a request for proposals for short-term projects this year. He provided details concerning funds allocated to various program elements and projects supported through the Cooperative Research Program, including staff dedicated to providing information in a usable format to GARM 3. So basically, most of our money's, what little money there is available for cooperative research this year is going to producing information from previously obtained studies, the cod industry-based survey, the yellowtail survey, the cod tagging survey. It also funded the Gulf of Maine, New Hampshire inshore Gulf, inshore trawl survey, and a couple other small projects. They anticipate they might have a little bit of money left over, but not enough to do a BAA at this time. So that's the status of the money. On the status of the research that we reviewed, Research Steering Committee reviewed 16 final cooperative research reports at its May meeting. Six were funded through the NMFS Cooperative Research Program, and 10 were funded by the Northeast Consortium. Because of the number of habitat-related reports, there were 8 of them, Research Steering Committee invited members of the Council's Habitat Plan Development Team to participate in the management evaluation. To date, all habitat-related reports received by the Council have now been reviewed and passed on to the appropriate technical teams for use in the Habitat Omnibus Amendment and future actions. And what I'm going to do is, rather than give you what I usually do, the brief summary of each report and a discussion of our debate, I'm going to let you read it for yourselves, because it would take more than an hour to go through it. It's 6 or 7 pages long. I'm just going to try and summarize what we found. Characterize the reports in general. 5 were gear-related. 2 of these were feasibility studies. 1 of these has been superseded by a management action, and management measures, rather. This was a monkfish study of the Central Gulf of Maine, proposing a B-day program with large mesh monkfish gear. And another addressed scallop ring size in state water, specifically in Maine. While these were both discussed and reviewed, they don't have any critical relevance to the management issues currently facing this council. One report documented a very successful outreach and training program designed to educate non-fishing professionals with the practical operations of a fishing vessel. A number of very high-quality reports were provided by the funders. Several of these will be of immediate use to the Habitat PDT. I'll just run through the names of these. Again, you can read the summary reports, and the full documentation is available on the CDs if you need them. Those reports were the Inshore Gulf of Maine Survey of Atlantic Herring Sentinel Spawning Grounds, identification of the life history parameters for 2 exploited skate species, thorny and smooth, in the Gulf of Maine, as well as strategies for fisheries management, the EMOLT project, which stands for Environmental Monitors on Lobster Traps. It's a huge data collection project. Another one is identifying the habitat of early juvenile cod in the nearshore Gulf of Maine waters, and identification of juvenile groundfish habitat within the nearshore Gulf of Maine. I know the names sound similar, but they were separate studies. Others were the subject of very positive feedback. These included the Gulf of Maine Research Institute hydroacoustic survey of sentinel spawning grounds for herring, and a project on habitat-dependent catch composition and food web dynamics on Stellwagen Bank and organized by the Mass Fishermen's Partnership. You probably remember about a half an hour ago I quoted from that that report. Obviously has some relevance to topics on hand. Even those projects that received a fair amount of criticism provided the council with information that has furthered the information available for fisheries management. These and all of the reports reviewed will be on file at the council office along with the remarks provided by the research steering committee. The committee hopes they are helpful to the end users. And again, if anybody has any questions, I'll try to answer them on the specific reports. If not, again, you know, our remarks will be on file, and you've all got them in your binders. You can read. It's pretty extensive comments on each report.
Wow.
I'm not done.
Oh, you're not done?
No, I saw a
hand. Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Because of family medical problems, I did not make this meeting, but I did read all of these reports. And what I'd like to say is that over the last year, since the research steering committee has started getting a little tougher on some of these individuals that are doing these reports, that the quality, with only a couple of exceptions, the quality of these reports was considerably better than what we have at times seen in the past. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was that that one of them, the fisherman-led fishing gear workshop, was Dave Gaethel's project, and it was an extraordinarily well-done piece of work. And I wanted to at least mention that to the committee. But in all, we still got a little ways to go, but the quality of this work was an improvement over what we have seen in the past. Thank you.
Dr. Pierce.
Regarding the research done, well, the survey, the inshore Gulf of Maine survey of Atlantic herring sentinel spawning grounds, interesting figures regarding the amounts of herring found in those areas are described in the results section. My question is, it's unclear where the study area was. Would you clarify that if you can?
The study area started off of Portland and came down to Cape Ann.
Portland down to Cape Ann. Okay, so, all right.
And out to Jeffries. It went across Jeffries.
Okay, it's just interesting. The biomass levels fluctuated rather significantly over, from August through November. I would have expected much higher abundance during the spawning period as opposed to later on in November, but the numbers don't bear that out. So I'll have to take a look at that report and see what I can gain from it. Thank you.
It was actually a pretty interesting report because what it did show, when the fish showed, they really showed, but they only showed for a couple weeks. And I remember that year that study was done, and I think it was one of the years that I commented that we closed the area for spawning too early, and the fish spawned after it reopened, and so it tended to bear that out, that the fish were there in the third week of October and the first week of November.
Okay, Dave. Dana.
Well, just a quick comment to that, Mr. Chairman. I know it's late, but one of the research units that create a lot of comment, and surprisingly enough, was the EMOLT project, and it ties in with what David is saying here. The results from this, the temperature and the dynamics and the spatial dynamics of tide, and the results from this, what I'm trying to point out is it sounds like it's a lobster project, but the results from this initial program goes much further than lobsters, and I think it was recognized by all the scientific people in the world. There's a lot of oceanographic information and other things in there that I can't explain that relate to the ecosystem approach that we're trying to get into, and I think everybody was very excited about that. And I just to mention that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thanks, Dana.
Dana's right. I mean, there's a huge amount of information in that report, just raw information, raw data that other people can work with when you're studying oceanographic events and trying to relate them to the ups and downs of various fish populations. You just fascinate. So people get a chance, take a look at it. It's good stuff.
It's on the discs, right?
Yeah, it's on the discs, or it's in the pile. So if there are no further questions on the report, I just have a little bit of other business, and I'll be done.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things that happened here is we had some new reviewers, you know, people that are kind of from outside the process, and they did offer a number of helpful suggestions on reviewing these projects, which we are going to try and incorporate into our plans, because they were not familiar with it. They had some new and different ideas. One of these was that to facilitate final research reports, the committee agreed that they should be made electronically available to council plan development team chairs on their respective FTP sites. I'm not a computer person, not even sure what an FTP is, but whatever. As called for in the council process in advance of preparing, we'd like to let researchers know that the final reports will be reviewed before they enter management. A lot of these reports were written to satisfy the technical requirements of the grant. As such, they spend a lot of time on budget and stuff like that, you know, technical aspects of the grant. And a lot of times people will take and later publish a paper in a peer-reviewed journal, which we may or may not get. So in the future, we're hoping that not only the CRPP, but also the consortium will be able to let researchers know that a final report will be expected, that will be reviewed prior to its entry into management, and that report should contain the information that's relevant to management. Because we think the reviewers a lot of times are writing for the granting authority and not for scientific use. They plan to write a separate paper for that. So sometimes these reports have not been, they've been technically proficient, but they haven't necessarily provided all the information that we could use. So we hope to get that statement into future requests for proposals. And that concludes my report, unless anybody has any questions.
Questions for Dave? Thanks, Dave. Is Tom Neese available? Tom has worked on a timeline for groundfish. We talked